Welcome to the Atom Ventures podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the co-founder of Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. And today we have Jenny.
Hi.
So Jenny works with us at Atom CTO. So this podcast is really a get to know you podcast for those of you who want to know the team, and essentially it's a meet the team podcast. So you're going to meet Jenny, who is I have worked with since 2013. And we're going to talk a little bit about her background and what she does actually at Atom CTO, Atom Ventures. So Jenny, first off, let's talk a little bit about yourself. What is your background? What did you study? Where did you study?
Yeah, so hi everyone. I'm Jenny Tsaliki. I know that for some of you, you know, my last name is kind of hard to pronounce. I was born and raised in Greece, Athens specifically. And I studied there statistics science and insurance. It was kind of a strange choice because, yeah, I don't even know if I can characterize it as a choice. The way that the system in Greece works is basically like you take the exams and you wish for the best, because it also depends on, you know, the demand of the school at the year when you take the exam. So it was either this law school or becoming a teacher. So it was a bit of a random, you know, like, choice, let's say, but I don't regret it because like studying mathematics basically helped me a lot with you know, how I approach problems. So this analysis and the fact that, you know, you take everything step by step and it's everything is you know, goal oriented, I think it really helped me, and you know, it was a nice experience overall.
I guess we should probably interrupt there and say what you do at Atom so that people understand a little bit around that.
Yeah, exactly. So I do business analysis at Atom. I also do project management and in some cases QA. So yeah, I didn't start like that in Greece. My first, let's say, real job, because we call real job an office job, was in accounting. So I couldn't find anything as a statistician. So the university I studied in, it's a University of Economics. So no matter what you study, you always have accounting subjects and economics. So I was able to find a job as an accountant, account assistant basically. But the thing is that it was at the same time when the recession in Greece started. So I only kept the job there for 1 year. And then, you know, problems started, like we didn't get paid and everything. And it was decision time for me. So this is when I decided to move from Greece. And specifically, I went to Dublin.
So what happened in Dublin? So that's where we met. We met at Aztec Exchange in Dublin back in 2013. Were you doing anything before Aztec?
So I moved, what was it, October 2012, and I was lucky enough to get a contract job 2 months later in Microsoft, only for 1 month, but that was fine. You know, it was a nice experience. It was something, you know, to get me started. Just before I got the job in Aztec, I also worked in a Carphone warehouse, again, a contract job. But, you know, I could feel that I wouldn't stay there for a long time. I was missing, you know, something. And to be honest, like coming from Greece, I had to start, you know, all over again, because in Greece, I was doing so many things. I was kind of running the department on, you know, on my own. And then suddenly I had to start from zero. So yeah, once Aztec happened, I was really, really happy because I could finally, you know, I had the feeling that, okay, this is where I belong. You know, things are positive, things are finally happening for me.
So Aztec, for those who don't know, was a startup, one of the very first fintechs in Dublin, I guess, a fintech startup that raised 12 million in 2012 and started in business in 2013. Providing global supply chain finance and trade finance. So, you know, you worked, and that was a fast growing team. You were one of the first employees, and then we quickly spread out and ended up with six different offices around the world. How did you find your experience at Aztec as a fast moving startup? Because obviously you were there from day one to day, well, when it finished in the end, like 4 years later.
Yeah, it was my first startup experience and I really loved it. I love the fact that you feel a part of, you know, of the team. We're just, in the beginning, a team of 10, 15 people and everything you do matters. With some people, you know, might be frightening as well because you cannot hide, right? If you do something, if you mess up something, then that's it. But for me, it was great the fact that there were no, you know, like rigid policies. We could build everything from the beginning. We had the freedom to do that. And I think I thrived. It was the first time that I felt, you know, that I'm doing something that I really love. But that was, you know, in the very beginning, because with all the startups, like you said, it's full of ups and downs. It cannot always go like that. So there were periods when, you know, things were not great, and it was kind of stressful to me because you work so much and you care. And then when you feel that, you know, things are not going the way you wanted them to, then yeah, it might be a bit disappointing. And especially if you don't have power over the decisions, right? So you do your best, and at the end of the day, you just hope that, you know, it will go well. You can influence things up to a point.
So how did you get into technology and IT?
Yeah, okay, so they tricked me. You know, I'm joking. I think it was, you know, again, because I was in a startup. Otherwise, I don't think that in a big company I would have been able to do that. But, you know, like on my side, the decision, I made the decision when I realized that I spent way more time working on improving on our technology in the company rather than, you know, actually doing the job I was hired for. So, and it's not because, okay, of course, it was something that needed to be done. And in startups, you cannot say, oh, this is not my job. But I felt that I really enjoyed it. I had, you know, better time working on that. So, but also it was, you know, I was lucky because of the team. I mean, you and the rest of the team. Because you had no reason to trust me. I mean, my background and everything at that point didn't point to the fact that, you know, I was going to be able to work in a technology, in a tech team. But yeah, I think that it worked out well at the end.
Yeah, definitely, definitely has. So I guess one of the, you worked, obviously, Aztec was a well-funded startup and had lots of ups and downs there. And then you moved into Atom Ventures, yeah, which is again another startup. So, you know, what do you feel about you? And, you know, I guess when you're talking to other people, you know, suit what, how does a startup lifestyle suit you?
I don't think that I could do otherwise. Well, for Atom, with Atom it's a bit different because, you know, the whatever things I had in previous, in Aztec, for example, that I didn't like, I managed to fix. So first of all, I'm in a company where I can influence decisions. And then the other thing is that I chose my team this time. Because in a startup environment, in small teams, if you have a person that, you know, doesn't have the right mentality, then the whole team has a problem, right? But in general, I wouldn't like what, you know, a 9-to-5 job would do to me in terms of, you know, me being bored or the fact that I wouldn't have the freedom that I need to give my best. I cannot, I don't like being, you know, this micromanagement. I cannot have people telling me, oh, this is how we do things and we cannot change it now because it would be, you know, too much and nobody cares about it. So I think it takes, you know, a certain personality to enjoy life in startups. And yeah, I think I have it.
What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about joining a startup for the first time?
You have to be prepared for a lot of work. You have to be prepared for what I said earlier, that if you make a mistake, everyone will know. And, you know, like for some people, this is amazing because you can improve. It's, you know, you have a direct feedback that you wouldn't have otherwise. So just don't do it again. And also that, you know, there is no mentality of this is not my task. This is not what I should be doing. So if you don't have this or if you don't like this kind of, you know, work culture, then I don't think it's a place for them.
So one of the big topics right now is virtual remote working. Now, at Aztec, you worked with people based in, you know, the US, Portugal, obviously the guys in Dublin, but then we have people in Singapore and South Africa. And with Atom being a virtual company from day one, you know, how do you deal with working remotely and working with a team that you don't actually always meet? I mean, you've only met some of the guys a few times, right, that you work with?
That's true. But on the other hand, I don't think that, you know, nowadays it's an excuse, you know, the fact that you cannot really be in the same room with someone, that you cannot meet the person or you cannot, you know, communicate properly. It's just that, again, you have to be on the same page with the rest of the people, and you have, maybe you have, you know, you need to have a better structure in terms of communication. Because it's not that it's not a given that you will go there and you will find this person. But other than that, if both parties, you know, are willing to communicate properly, then I don't think, like, I'm at this point now that I don't even notice that, oh, you know, it's something, the fact that I work remotely with the team. So yeah, I cannot find any anything difficult in that. And personally, working from home has other positive things. It makes me, you know, I have a peace of mind in terms of the fact that I don't have to choose between a job that I love and where I would like to live, for example, because this at some point in my life, it was something, you know, a choice that I had to make. You have so many times that you are fine with your job, but you hate, you know, the country or the city, or, you know, something is wrong and you want to leave. So working remotely has solved this for me. And maybe it's another reason why, you know, I'll make sure that I'll make it I'll make it work, you know, fine, because I cannot imagine myself going back to an office easily.
So you moved from obviously Greece to Dublin to Berlin now, which is where you're at. And you've worked with people from many different cultures over the years. You know, how do you find that? How have you found the transition moving from country to country, but also how do you find it working remotely with different cultures?
So moving countries, especially in the work environment, it was a huge change. I mean, the biggest change was from Greece to Dublin, from to Ireland. Maybe because of the recession, maybe because the culture is like I don't match at all. So it was life changing for me. And you know, like in Greece, on one hand, let's say the positive thing is that you learn how to fight. You know, but at the same time, I found out that this shouldn't be the case when you work or when you know, you try to find a job. In Greece, it was the competition was huge. Like I had cases where people would tell you, like, wouldn't train you properly because they were afraid that then you might take their job or something. So imagine going from this to Dublin to a startup that you know, everyone was there for the same goal, because obviously it's the same company and this is how things should be. So it was a very, very positive experience. Now, in terms of different teams, again, I found out that it's not about culture, it's not about nationality, it's about the right mentality. If you feel that you are part of something bigger, you are part of the team, you don't put your own agendas or, you know, whatever issues you might have above of the common good, then everything will be fine. Now, coming to Berlin, I have to be honest, I don't have, an idea of how things are here, because I work remotely. I mean, you know, the Atom bubble, as I call it. So I only hear stories from people that work in companies here. And I have identified, you know, two interesting cases where you have huge companies that have the problems that I mentioned earlier about, you know, that everything is hard to change. You just do your job and you don't talk about anything. You don't, you know, like you seem weird if you start all of a sudden to suggest new things. And then you have the startup scene, which is huge here in Berlin. But I think everyone is very new. It's not so, you know, you don't see mature people leading these companies. So although you have great ideas and great teams, I think it's hard for them to succeed because they don't have the wisdom, you know, coming from someone pointing out their mistakes or, you know, guiding them in the correct way. So my friends, for example, that work in such companies, I mean, you know, like, especially in my age, free pizza and beer is not enough to keep someone, right? So, yeah, you need to think about other things as well on how to progress.
All right, so last question for you. If you go back in time 20 years and give advice to your younger self, what would that be?
The only thing I regret is like not leaving Greece earlier. And it might sound a bit, you know, harsh, but it's not about, of course, there are things that I love about the country, but it's a village compared to, you know, bigger countries. You cannot have, it's impossible to have the same chances there. It's impossible to learn the same thing. So I feel like, you know, there was a bit of a delay. I could have done things earlier, but it's okay.
It's all worked out well for the end. In the end,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks for that, Jenny. It's been great talking to you, and hopefully everyone now has a better sense of who you are and what you've been doing for us.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks.